Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
My name is Lauren, and I serve here as a volunteer staff member with Family Ministry, and I have the honor and privilege of sharing the second message in this series. My taller half, Kevin, who's 2.04 meters, for those of you who haven't seen him standing up, he shared last week about Marketplace, and really in this In Focus series, we're talking about priorities of our church, which is kind of ironic because my husband always tells me that I need to be more focused. I feel like I'm focused. I just have a lot of things I'm focusing on. So I'll try to be very focused with you today and not talk so quickly. I've also been told I talk very fast. So, but today with Family Ministry, I really wanted to talk about not just why family is a priority here, but really what God's design is for family, and then answer really four main questions for you. So why did or how did Jesus model family? Why are families a priority here at Every Nation Taipei? What is family ministry and what does that look like? And then how does family ministry affect you? So before we get started, I wanted to just open us in prayer. God, we thank you so much for your word and for your example and your son, Jesus, as we look to follow you and be focused on just the priorities that you've set before each of us to build up your name and glorify you here in Taipei. And Lord, I pray that as we just step into this topic, God, that you just help us be focused on what you want us to hear. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you've planned for each of us to take away, Lord, so that we just see you working in our lives and how we can glorify and honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I love photos, so I have several here to share with you today to share my personal story. I met my husband, Kevin, in college, and actually that was not my plan. My plan was to go to college, graduate, get a job, work for about 5 years, and then pick my head up, look around for other people that were serious, and then I would start dating, and then eventually get married and have kids. And I met Kevin 10 weeks into college. And actually, I don't remember the timing of this. It was sometime maybe 10 weeks after that in which I told him over AOL Instant Messenger. Anyone? Okay. I told him that I felt like I could spend the rest of my life with him. So if he didn't feel the same, he needed to, you know, move on because I was pretty serious. So I guess I was focused. But anyway, he felt the same, fortunately. And in college, actually, several of you have heard Kevin's testimony at other times, but he had been raised in church, but actually didn't accept Christ until he was in college through campus ministry. So he stepped into Campus Crusade as a small group leader. And really, because of that timing, our relationship from the beginning had a strong foundation on growing our faith and really learning together in that way. And so fast forward, we actually got married the week after we graduated. A lot of you guys also, okay, I guess I'm focused. Within a month, we graduated, got married, had our honeymoon, moved. We actually moved 3 different locations worth of stuff. So we unpacked and repacked a U-Haul 3 times across the entire half of the U.S. And then we started new jobs. And so, yeah, we took a new survey or like a first level employee survey at work. And it said, if you've experienced any of these major life changes, you might be stressed. And I was like, we're not stressed. We're just type A Americans. Like, we're fine. So anyway, we wasted no time. When we got married, we found a church within a month of settling in Texas. And even though campus ministry was very near and dear to our hearts, the church we joined didn't have a strong campus ministry. It was about 30 minutes north of Campus UT Austin, for those of you familiar with Texas. And so they had a strong student ministry, and we said, hey, we're here, we'll serve. And they said, well, we really need help with middle schoolers. And we were like, oh, we don't know how to do that. But then we said, well, I mean, we're awkward college kids and like we're really silly and goofy. And I mean, middle schoolers are too, right? Like they're kind of silly and awkward and goofy. So sure, I think this will work. So we signed up with middle schoolers, and we also realized high schoolers were like too cool for us. We weren't cool enough. And we didn't do kids, like babies. Like that was just scary. So anyway, middle school was good. Started with youth, and we really engaged. We learned a lot. I mean, the benefit to us was huge in a way we didn't expect. So we learned how to engage with kids to build authentic relationship. We watched parents build strong families that we wanted to model our families after and our parenting styles. And also our personal faith was strengthened when we were bold enough to ask kids questions that felt awkward and when they asked us questions that were really hard to think about because we had never thought of that before. So fast forward to we started our family 7 years into being married. We had two kids. We had a boy first and a girl second. And actually, we had prayed to have two kids, a boy, a girl, a boy first. The Lord generously answered those prayers for us. But as we had those kids, I mean, again, I mentioned we don't do babies. Like, it was really hard to figure out how do we pass on our faith to kids at this level? Like, we're ready to talk to kids that form complete sentences. Like, it's really hard. So a lot of that honestly came back to our upbringing. I mean, we were both raised in Christian homes, and praise God, we had multi-generational believers. So we had grandparents, parents, siblings, all believed in Jesus. But we didn't really have a strong spiritual family beyond our kind of nuclear family that invested in us, that we really felt comfortable going to for things, or that we relied on and they invested in us. So when we had our kids, we joined a family connect group when our son was 6 months old. And we walked through a lot of stuff, sharing life together. We walked through miscarriages, shared war stories of potty training and toddler tantrums. And most of all, we learned how to establish a strong family foundation. So we talked about building up our marriages and being intentional parents, not just, you know, behavior modification, don't have a fit when I need to check out at the grocery store, but like really, how do we invest our faith in the next generation? And we grew in our personal faith journey as well in a time that was just really difficult to get sleep, honestly. So we ended up leading that family ministry for several years before we moved here to Taiwan. And that brings us to family life current day. So we have a 4-year-old daughter, a 7-year-old son. They're having birthdays next month. So by the time I learn their name, their numbers in Mandarin, I got to relearn it. So it's okay. And the Lord just continues to grow in me a desire to invest in families and inspire other people to do the same. So I wanted to start just with a brief overview of God's design for family. And so, you know, families were really a part of God's original design. And when we think about the creation story, we'll look at Genesis 1, 27 through 28. And so it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it.'" And so right here we have the creation story. Man, woman, later it says it's good for them to be together, so we have marriage. We have be fruitful and multiply, have kids, start a family and grow. So contrary to popular culture today, which says that marriage was just is maybe just a social construct for tax benefits, we see that marriage was really created by God from the beginning. And so God being the creator of family, he really has a huge interest in families. And when he started creation, he started with a family. He didn't start with a church, right? He started with humanity, not Christianity. So when we think about what happened shortly after God brought Adam and Eve into the world, unfortunately, sin entered the world. And so sin, one of the first impacts was the destruction of the marriage and the family relationships. And so we see sin entering the world, destroying our relationship with God and with each other when we read Genesis 3, 12 through 13. So the man said, this is as they've eaten the forbidden fruit and God says, "Where are you?" And they say, "Here we are," and they're hiding. And he says, "What happened?" And so the man, Adam, says, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So here from the very beginning, we see, you know, Adam's throwing God under the bus. Like, well, you put this woman here, right? It's not really my fault. And then he's throwing Eve under the bus. Like, well, Eve actually gave me the fruit. Like, I didn't take it off the tree. And then Eve, following that pattern of behavior, following her husband in the marriage, says, well, I didn't do it. Really, it was the serpent, right? So you just see this habit and this passed down family values of, we're not going to take responsibility. It's, you know, someone else's issue. And really, you're seeing the destruction here of the marriage, the family unit. And we're still seeing this today. I mean, marriages and families are under attack from the enemy. So I don't have time to go into that. I feel like that could be a whole nother situation. But the next point to be focused is that Christ is God's response to sin's destruction of God's original design. And so when we think about Genesis 3:15, so this is after the serpent has deceived Adam and Eve, and God addresses Satan directly. He says, and I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, Eve, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and he will strike his heel. And so we're talking about, obviously, Satan being the serpent, offspring being Jesus, and that Jesus is coming and he will defeat Satan and defeat evil. And so we see that Christ is God's response to sin's destruction of the original design, and that the church, so all of us as Christ followers, were created to help restore humanity, restore the family back to God's original intent. So I wanted to think about, now that we know what God's design was for families, think about how Jesus himself modeled family. And we know Jesus had a physical family. He had a mom and a dad. He had siblings, but he didn't get married and he didn't have kids. So what he actually did, though, was he modeled different roles within the family unit during his time on earth that each of us can follow no matter what life stage we're in. And so the first role I really wanted to speak to was Jesus modeling being a child of God. So you've probably heard Matthew 18:3, where he says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So what does that mean? I mean, throw tantrums, need diaper changes. No, that's not in my notes, by the way, sorry, focus. Jesus modeled so many things in being a child, like being obedient to authority, being dependent on his father for survival. But a big way that he modeled being a child, I think, is found in Matthew 7:7-11. So I'll walk through each of that. In verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So three times we see ask, seek, knock. He's telling us to ask four things. Continuing on, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? And then finally, verse 11, if you then are, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. So again, three times he shows us asking for things. Three times he says, expect good things from God. So he really models asking for help and that expectation. And we see that in our home. I mean, I don't know what we've done to make our kids expect good things, but I get asked for ice cream before dinner on the daily. Sometimes I parenting tip, try to say yes as often as you can, but I get really worn down because ice cream, unless they turn it, dinner into an ice cream form. Like, we can't do that every day. But really, in thinking through Jesus modeling that asking for help, expecting good things, is something that we can model as well. Secondly, Jesus modeled being a brother to his disciples. And so you see, they shared life together. They served one another in love. And that means they were there for each other in the ups and the downs, in those exciting moments, in the moments of exciting things happening, but also in the mundane. They were serving each other. And so in John 13:34-35, Jesus says, love one another. By this, people will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And so, again, one thing we do in our home is a lot of stuff around dishes. And dishes don't seem to be a popular chore. I don't know for anyone else. Is that a popular chore? Okay. So we often tell the repetitive phrase in our home is, we are part of a family and we serve the family. And so, I read some parenting books recently that talked about examples with youth and how you can say, you know, if you would like to serve our family and be part of a family that serves, then you also get dinner served to you. That is a very good way that we serve each other. So it doesn't really work with my kids, but I mentioned that I could try that and they said, no, we'll do the dishes and get some dinner. So serving as a brother to the disciples. Jesus also modeled being a parent to the disciples. And so, you know, he led them wisely as they walked together doing life. The disciples saw Jesus's work. They heard his prayers. They saw him minister to others. They watched how he responded to adversity. And a big part of parenting, though, when we look at 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, I didn't put it up here, but it says, all scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so parenting, we think a lot about and see Jesus' example of teaching and training. But this picture I actually pulled from The Chosen, kind of depicting that moment where there might have been some rebuke and correction going on. Pulling the verse here from Mark 3:14, first part and 17. It's the section where he's talking about appointing the 12 disciples. And later he specifically mentions James and John, the brothers that he gave the nickname Sons of Thunder to. And so when you watch The Chosen, you know, they kind of play out what it might have looked like for Jesus to say, you know, this nickname I give you because you got a lot of, you know, zeal, you got a lot of intensity, but we got to channel it to the right thing. And so, you know, being a parent, stepping into that role means all four of those things, teaching, training, but also rebuking and correcting. And so really the fourth thing Jesus modeled was the relationship of marriage. So explaining the relationship between himself and the church. And so he talks about sacrifice and service, Jesus laying his life down and sanctifying the church. But also in Ephesians 5:24-25, he speaks about the other side for us as the bride of Christ. So as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. And then later in verse 32, he says, but this is a profound mystery. I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. So again, I wish I could really dive into this whole section for you. But Jesus really modeled what it looked like. And again, even though Jesus wasn't married, he didn't have kids, he really modeled what it looked like in each of those roles, being a child, being a sibling, being a parent, and the role of marriage in the family. So we know that families really matter and are a priority, but why are families such a big priority for us here at Every Nation Taipei? So here at Every Nation Taipei, families are a priority specifically in all of Taiwan, really because of the culture and the location that we're in. So location-wise, Taiwan actually has the 6th lowest birth rate worldwide. Actually, the first lowest is another place in Asia. And because of that, it's actually a big focus for the country. They really want to invest a lot in helping fix that issue. And so there's lots of incentives for parents to have kids, a lot of government investment. There's government subsidized parent child centers. There's really been a lot of focus on lowering tuition or monetary incentives based on how many kids you have. And so because of that, it's really become a desirable place for families to come. So really in the last 2 years, we saw a lot of people coming to Taiwan to kind of escape COVID. Now we're seeing a lot of families really from all over coming to Taiwan because it really just has a culture and a location that makes sense for families. Also, culture-wise, there really is just a gentleness in this culture towards kids and towards the elderly. And so we notice that most profoundly actually through riding our bikes in the streets. So when we first moved here, we had helmets on and everyone looked at us and I thought, well, it's just because we're Meg Warren, right? Like we just blonde hair, people are like, you know, weird bike, you look strange. But then we started looking around and really, you know, kind of noticing like we're the only people with helmets on. And I started recognizing that people drive differently here, you know? So in the States, like it's the car's coming and you need to look out because like the car will win, right? That's the message. So everyone's like, helmet on. In Taiwan, I've watched people stop traffic for an old lady crossing the road when it was red. I mean, it was like she was halfway and it counted down and she was still there and everyone stopped and let her cross. We've just seen so many examples of that personally that you know, there's also a huge culture of honoring parents and ancestors. So Taiwan places a huge emphasis on not just honoring, but caring for parents, elders, ancestors. And this is actually a biblical value as well. When we think about when Jesus died on the cross, one of the last things he did was assign one of the disciples to look after his mother, right? And so scripture is very clear on the importance of honoring parents. And so I think that's a connection point we have. Also, when I was looking at the Joshua Project, which is a data source on unreached people groups, it said that in Taiwan, the largest religion, almost 61%, is ethnic religion. So as opposed to Christianity, which is kind of a universal religion, it doesn't follow a particular ethnic group of people, ethnic religion is passed down specifically in families and in ethnic groups. And so again, just there's a high value placed on family. And lastly, Taiwan, as you all know, is very full of tradition. So after living here for almost 2 years and doing a lot of local holidays with our friends, we've just seen so many different traditions around, you know, what kind of food you bring to gatherings or, you know, where to buy the best fruit baskets. We brought our landlord mooncakes from a bakery, and apparently that was not a good choice. We should have done a fruit basket from a very specific vendor with a nice bow. So we learned that. But there's a lot to do that's kind of unspoken, and then there's a lot of things that are traditional around honoring your parents, not just how you relate to other people. So huge takeaway here, though, is that teaching God's principles on family and building healthy families as God intended them to be is a huge opportunity for us to share Christ with the people here in Taiwan. And so it's also the reason that we believe that God is calling us to focus on families. And so a personal example of that, 2 weeks ago, we all celebrated Moon Festival, and we ended up doing Moon Festival with some friends of ours that are local Taiwanese. At the end of the meal, they said, we went outside to decorate and peel pomelos, and they said, do you put the rinds on your head? And we said, okay, great. And we took photos, and we said, why are we doing this? And they said, it's tradition. And so that was good enough of an answer for me. So I put it on Facebook, and all of my US friends, like that post, just that photo, just blew up. Everybody said, what are you doing? Like, why? So I was like, okay, fine. I'll consult Google because no one seems to know. So Google says that there really is a huge, significant cultural tradition behind this. And so actually in Mandarin, the word pomelo sounds like prayer for a son. And so this tradition really is about, and I lost my notes, but you guys know, that it signifies you're praying for the youth in your family. So again, traditions being passed down in the family, focused on kids, like this is a huge opportunity for us when we have these opportunities in culture to connect with the cultural values that the Taiwanese hold dear, to share the importance of family, to honor parents and ancestors, but also declare that God was the creator of family and that he has the wisdom and insight we need to pass down, not just as a church to kind of model that and invest in teaching that to our members, but to share that to the community and culture around us. So now that I've shared why families are a priority to us, I thought you might want to know what family ministry looks like here at Every Nation. And it's a lot of fun and a lot of pictures. So it is really making disciples in four main areas, in kids, in youth, through parenting, and through marriage. So what it looks like in photos is engaging families in the church. We have monthly family days. We just had one yesterday. We got rained out at the park, but we went to the bowling alley. It was really for the parents. I don't know, I hope the kids had fun. But if you bowl with us, one thing you will know is we actually told our children when they were very young that if they dance after they start bowling, they have a better chance of hitting pins down. So we have a really good time when we bowl. So we might have to repeat that event. It also looks like establishing kids in their faith. And so in two big ways, one of those is in curriculum at Kids Church. So every Sunday we have curriculum that helps build their knowledge, their understanding, and their wisdom in the Lord. And then as Pastor Jason mentioned, next week we'll have the Kids Church Praise and Worship. So we're going to step out of normal curriculum and help them gather together and really establish them in that faith practice of just being present with the Lord and worshiping. We'd like to continue building that out and focusing on prayer and some of these other, you know, spiritual practices that we want to pass down to kids in the family. It also looks like empowering youth to own their faith. And so we do, in addition to Sunday mornings, we do monthly gatherings with the youth to help them really build a biblical worldview. So a recent event we did was watching the movie God's Not Dead. It's a movie about a college student who has to defend his faith for a grade in a psychology class against his atheist professor. So we watched that movie with the youth, talked about not only kind of processing what they learned, but then also, you know, how do you see how you need to defend your faith in your life and with your friends? And so it lastly, or not lastly, we have two more. It looks like equipping parents to raise godly kids. So we have connect groups. I lead a mom's connect group where we're focused on a couple of books. So we did grace-based parenting last semester, moving into the power of a praying mom this semester, just trying to get into the word daily and pray for our kids in all of those areas. Also, we're starting new family connect groups next month. So we'll have more information about that at the end and as we continue to build out the connect groups here at Every Nation. And in the future, we're hoping to build workshops for parenting specific topics, you know, building prayer cards for kids and things like that. Again, just focusing on equipping parents. And lastly, encouraging strong marriages. So family connect groups, marriage studies, all of that. So the last question that I wanted to cover was, how does family ministry affect you? Because we all have a role in the family of God to help build families. And so I wanted to look at Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 1 and 2, where Moses is talking to the Israelites before they go into the promised land. And so he's saying, these are the commands, decrees, and laws that God told me to teach to you. And not it's not just for you, right? It was to pass down for you, your children, and their children after them, that they may fear the Lord your God as long as they live. And he continues in verse 7 saying, impress them upon your children. Talk about them in four main areas: when you sit at home, when you're walking along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And so I see those two, like sitting at home or walking along the road. Those are areas that everyone can get involved, not just parents. And so really, to follow Jesus, I believe that in following his example, we can serve families no matter what life stage we're in. So we're all able to teach kids and train the youth, whether we have them or not. I mean, it was a huge witness opportunity when I was in the corporate world and I brought in extra cupcakes and said, hey, these are from my discipleship group from last night with my middle schoolers. And they said, you don't have a middle schooler. Why are you doing that? So it really gave me a chance to just share, yeah, how are we living differently and serving the family of God? And so in closing, I have one more question, but it's one that only you can answer, which is, how can you make family ministry a priority and build families here in Taipei? And so if we all have a role to play in the family of God, for you, it might look like just spending time with kids to learn what is it like to be a child and ask for things and expect them. It could be investing in kids as a spiritual big sibling or as a spiritual parent for kids that are not actually yours. It could be couples serving each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, as you're building each other's marriages up and helping one another in your parenting efforts. And so here, as we talk about these priorities at Every Nation Taipei, we want to make it easy and obvious for you guys to get involved. And so whatever it looks like for you, we have opportunities and ways you can step in. So for kids and youth, volunteering to be a kids' church teacher, whether as a lead or an assistant, is a huge way you can serve us. And my husband made the point, which I thought was pretty funny. He said, if you can read, you can lead kids' church, because we give like an entire script and it's got notes and crafts and you have a lot of good time. And the kids, we've created a structure so that the kids know what to expect, that we start with looking in our Bibles, we learn what's going on, we have a craft that really reiterates what we're focused on, we sing Bible verses together, and then we're ending with really having 3 to 4 touch points on what did we learn today. Volunteering to teach the youth or helping at monthly events is also another way you can serve. And if you really love event planning, you know, helping to plan events for families. So afterwards, we'll actually be at the volunteer booth on the side, or you can contact me online. And if we have parenting and marriage interest, I mean, signing up to join or lead a family connect group where you're focused on specifically parenting or marriage or just growing, sharpening iron, you can connect with Adora. And Adora, right here, raise your hand. She's helping lead our family ministry. And so we'd love to get that going as well. And so really, as I close, I just want to remind you and all of us that God isn't establishing a mission for his church. He's establishing a church for his mission. And so his mission was in creation, was making healthy families that reflect who he is and the kind of community that's shared within the Trinity. And so his mission through the church is to restore humanity and restore families back to the creation ideal. So let's be a part of what God is doing, building healthy families in Taiwan for his kingdom and his glory.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.